Hello and welcome back to Neely's Bend Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. I'm Austin Jones, the pastor here at Neely's Bend Baptist Church in Madison, Tennessee, and I'm so grateful you've taken the opportunity to listen to our sermons here at Neely's Bend. At Neely's Bend, our mission is that we want to equip people with the gospel so they can live in worship of God and one another fellowship and on mission by making disciples. My hope is that these sermons from Neely's Bend Baptist Church will encourage you with the gospel to live on mission and one another fellowship and in worship of God. If you have any questions about the gospel or Neely's Bend Baptist Church, please feel free to email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks, and we hope you have a great week.
Isn't that a beautiful song? Just reminding us of how the Lord speaks to us, right? And how the Lord speaks to us through His Word. Thank you, Ashton, for leading us in worship and praise of our risen Savior this morning, of our Redeemer. If you have your copy of God's Word, turn with me to Ruth chapter 3. Continue our series through the book of Ruth. We've read chapter 1, and we learned that in chapter 1 that Ruth and Naomi and Elimelech, they left the purposes of God, left the presence of God. Their husbands and their sons passed away, and then Ruth and Naomi, they come back bitter and empty. And then in chapter 2, we see that happenstances don't just happen. And then now in chapter 3, we're going to see a proposal that happens. So join me in reading from Ruth chapter 3. The Word of God says, "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, 'My daughter, should I not seek rest for you that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative with whose young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash therefore and anoint yourself and put on your cloak and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies, then go and uncover his feet and lie down. And he will tell you what to do.' And she replied, 'All that you say, I will do.' So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. Then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, 'Who are you?' And she answered, 'I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer.' And he said, 'May you be,'" excuse me. "And he said, 'May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, and then you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer, yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight, and in the morning, if he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning.' So she lay at his feet until the morning, but arose before no one could recognize another. And he said, 'Let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor.' And he said, 'Bring the garment you were wearing and hold it out.' So she held it out, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, 'How did you fare, my daughter?' Then she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, 'These 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said to me, "You must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law."' She replied, 'Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today.'" Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just come to you this morning, Lord, and God, we're so thankful for your word, God. And God, this morning, as we just sung, Lord, I pray that you just speak to us this morning, that you speak to us through your word, Lord, that you will open our eyes, open our ears, open our minds, open our hearts to be able to see, hear, know, and understand and receive what your word is teaching us from Ruth chapter 3 today, Lord. God, I just pray that you help me to preach with simplicity, with clarity and passion. God, we pray all of us in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Such a scandalous sounding story, isn't it? One that seems like it shouldn't be in the Bible, but it is, right? One that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, but it's there. And ultimately what we are seeing in this chapter is a midnight proposal, right? We're seeing a proposal of marriage. This is what chapter 3 is about. It's about a proposal of marriage. Only this proposal did not come in the traditional way a proposal would come, right? When 2017, I, as the man, asked my wife, Ashton, to marry me, right? That's the traditional thing to do. Have any of you, women, ever asked your husband to marry you? Anybody? No, not a single one of them. Because it's not the traditional thing to do, is it? But here in Ruth chapter 3, we see a proposal from a woman rather than the man. It was a reckless proposal. A proposal that could have upended so much of her life, but thankfully it didn't. It was a proposal that could have created more unrest for her life, but it didn't. You see, Ruth and Naomi were restless. They had lost their husbands, the very people that women desperately needed in this time period. They were empty. They had no provision. They had no protection. Life had emptied them. They were restless. Life had made Naomi bitter, and it brought great pain to Ruth. They needed rest, and the only way in which rest could come was through a husband, a redeemer. And Naomi knew this. It's why she prayed in Ruth chapter 1, verse 9, "The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." Naomi knew that rest came from a husband. Which is why she prayed for her two daughter-in-laws, Orpah and Ruth, to have a husband. We know that Orpah went back, but Ruth clung to Naomi. She stayed. She tried to send them back because she knew the best place for them to find a husband was in Moab. But little did Naomi know that this prayer for Ruth would be answered in Judah. Would be answered in Bethlehem. What we see in chapter 3 is an answered prayer. An unexpectedly answered prayer. We begin to see rest fulfilled by the only one who can give rest, and that is God alone. Maybe you are feeling the same way. Naomi and Ruth, life has emptied you. Life has drained you. Maybe you're like Ruth and Naomi and you've lost your spouse, whether it be recently or whether it been several years ago, and it has just drained you. There's a sense of emptiness that has come with the loss of your spouse. Maybe it's been financially. Every week is a stretch. You're living paycheck to paycheck, and sometimes you wonder, do I have enough to make it? And it's emptied you. It's made you restless. Maybe it's been your health that's emptied you, or the health of another that's emptied you. Cancer, sickness has just wiped you out. You're constantly going to doctor's appointments, constantly receiving news you don't want to hear, constantly hurting and in pain, and it has emptied you. It's made you restless. Maybe it's people in your family, your kids, even adult kids that have made decisions that you don't agree with, you don't like them. Maybe there's tension between you and your kids, or maybe it's tension with your parents, or maybe it's your siblings that you have tension with. And it's draining you. It's emptying you. It's creating restlessness. I'm not sure your situation. You are, though, right? You know what's emptying in you. You know what's draining you. You know what's causing you to be restless. And here's what this passage teaches us today. This passage teaches us that rest comes from the Redeemer. Rest comes from the Redeemer. I'd encourage you, if you have a pen and a piece of paper, to write that down. Write it in all caps. Make it big as you can. Make a magnet out of it. Make a sticker out of it. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it on the back of your phone. Do whatever you want to, but remember that rest comes from the Redeemer. You can't give yourself rest. You can't help yourself to get rest. But God can give you rest. Today in this story, we see rest come from Boaz. But by the end of his sermon, my hope is that you will see that this rest, it didn't ultimately come from Boaz. It came from God alone. But more so than that, we will see that true rest comes from the true Redeemer, Jesus Christ. So here is where we are going today. We're first going to look at a plan for rest. Then we're going to look at a proposal of rest. And lastly, we're going to see rest secured. And so, the story begins with a plan for rest. We see this in verses 1 through 5. Chapter 2 ends with Ruth continuing to glean in the fields of Boaz until the end of the harvest. We really don't know how long she was gleaning for. It could have been several days. It could have been several weeks that she had just been out there gleaning, picking up the stalks and carrying them back and beating them out and taking them home. And then Naomi begins to think of someone other than herself. In chapter 1, even though Ruth clung to her and stayed with her, Naomi only seemed to care about herself. When they came back to the town, Naomi didn't even mention Ruth. She didn't even mention the one that returned with her. She only cared about her bitterness and how God had made her bitter. She finally let her go to go glean in the fields in chapter 2. And Shimei showed care for her by telling her to stay with the women in the fields for protection. Naomi's finally starting to think about someone else. But right here in chapter 3, Naomi begins to think about Ruth. And she rhetorically says, my daughter, should I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you? Should I not seek a husband for you? That's what Naomi is saying here. Should I not try to help you find a husband? As I've already stated, to have a husband is to have a place of rest. It means security. It means provision. Naomi finally begins to think about the welfare of Ruth. And the potential husband that Naomi has in mind is Boaz. The author tells us in verse 1 of chapter 2 that Boaz was a close relative. We as the reader are already beginning to see this, right? And then Naomi says the name, or the same thing in verse 20 of chapter 2. And includes that Boaz is one of the redeemers. Naomi decides to put a plan into action. I think she began to see God's providence here. Honestly, I think she began to see it, right? She began to think and go, oh, Boaz is a redeemer. Ruth's been gleaning in his fields. That didn't just happen, right? And so she begins to kind of see God's providence and God's plan in all this. And I think she began to put the pieces together and began to realize that Boaz is the redeemer. But Ruth is still mourning. Boaz isn't making any moves. So, you know, Naomi creates a plan to rush or to force the plans of God. You ever do that in your life? You ever begin to maybe see God's plan for you, or you begin to understand that God was leading you to do something, and then you rushed it? You tried to force it? Tried to make it happen? You rashly create a plan and it fails miserably? I've done that before. I'm certain many of you have done that before. And as a word of caution, when we are empty, when we are drained, when we are restless, you know what we will try to do to get out of that emptiness, to get out of that restlessness? We will create any plan we can make to get out of it, won't we? We will try to force it. We will try to rush it. We will make rash decisions. And sometimes these plans that we create are not godly and not good plans. And truth be told, the plan that Ruth or Naomi gives to Ruth is not the best of plans. She's forcing it. It wasn't a good plan. It was a rash and reckless plan. It could have upended so much for Ruth. But what's the plan here? To surprise Boaz at the threshing floor. To basically say, "Hey, I'm here. See me? Redeem me, okay?" Now, I don't have time to explain the full process of what's happening at the threshing floor, but to give you the basics, what's happening was they harvested the barley or the wheat or whatever it was. They take it back to the threshing floor. They beat it out. And when you beat it out, then you have the seeds and you have chaff laying on the ground, right? And what they would do is they would take it up, they would toss it in the air, and a breeze would blow over and blow out the chaff, and the heavier seeds would fall back down. Got it? That's what's happening. That's what Boaz is doing at the threshing floor. And then after winnowing, to protect their harvest, they would sleep right next to it. They said, "I don't want no one to steal my food. I don't want no steal my harvest, so I'm going to sleep right here next to the grain." And so Naomi gives her a plan. Step one, wash yourself. Clean up. Take a shower. Step two, anoint yourself. Put on some perfume. Smell good, right? Step three, put on your cloak. It's likely that Ruth was still wearing her mourning garments, right? Her widowed clothes. And Naomi is telling Ruth, "It's time. It's time to take off your mourning clothes, put on a different cloak, and make yourself available." It could be the reason that Boaz hasn't made a move yet. It's because he was respecting Ruth and her mourning, and because Ruth hadn't made herself available yet. Some other questions that arise is, what type of cloak is this, right? Is this a fancy one? Is this one where we put on the best dress we can find, right? And we're going on a we're going out to impress, right? Is that what this is? Is this one that would draw attention and get Boaz's attention? Or is this a shawl? Now, basically, a shawl, all it is it doubled as a coat and it doubled as a blanket. I think of those little coats that the NFL players wear when it's really cold. You know what I'm talking about? Those jackets that they kind of throw over their shoulders. You know what I'm talking about? You could almost lay down and that would be a blanket, right? That's essentially what Ruth is going out with. I tend to believe this was a shawl. Ruth and Naomi were poor. They didn't have much. They probably couldn't have afforded a fancy, expensive dress to attract attention. It was also nighttime. It's not like Boaz would have been able to see the dress or to see the fancy cloak. It would have been chilly out, right? It would have been a little cold in the night. And so Ruth is going to stay warm without a blanket? No, she needs something to cover up with to stay warm. So the step three is to take off your mourning garments, put on the shawl, make yourself available. And then we go to step four. Go down to the threshing floor. But don't make yourself known. Hide and wait until he's finished eating and drinking. One thing to note here, I don't think Boaz was drunk. There's a lot of commentary, a lot of stuff, a lot of people out there that tend to think that Boaz was drunk, that Naomi was trying to find Boaz in a time when he was a little tipsy or a little bit drunk so that he might say yes, right? But I don't think that's what's happening here. Boaz was called a worthy man. He may have had a few drinks, but the passage gives us no indication he was drunk. Now, step five. Watch where he lies down. Observe where he lies down. Step six, go uncover his feet. I know it sounds crazy, right? We wouldn't do this during our time, would it? But apparently this was a common thing for them. But go uncover the feet. Step seven, lie down beside him. Now, it's not that Ruth was laying down, you know, side by side with Ruth, if that makes sense. They're not holding each other. They're not right next to each other. No, Ruth is laying at the feet, okay? Ruth is laying there at the feet. And then step eight, wait. He will tell you what to do. Now, this is wild, isn't it? This almost sounds very promiscuous, doesn't it? Like Naomi is encouraging Ruth to engage in actions that she shouldn't be engaging in, right? At least that's how we begin to think of it, but that's not the case. It's plausible that that could have been the intention based off the Hebrew words, but that's not at all what happens. Boaz describes Ruth as a worthy woman. Boaz himself is a worthy man. They're not going to do those things. Sounds a little scandalous, but it really isn't. Dangerous? Yes. Reckless? Yes. Scandalous? Probably not. Then Ruth, after the plan is all laid out, says, "All that you say, I will do." Ruth is on board. And so this moves us forward in the story. We see the plan for rest, and now we're going to see the proposal of rest. Ruth goes and she does all that she is told to do. She washes up, she puts on her perfume, she puts on her cloak, and she makes her way to the threshing floor. She's hiding in the shadows of the night, keeping her distance, making sure no one recognizes who she is, no one sees her out. And Boaz finished eating, he finished drinking, and his heart is merry. You ever worked a long day and gone home after work, and you eat some food and you drink some drink, and then you're what? You're happy, right? Man, this feels great to have something in my belly. This is Boaz at this point. His heart is happy. It feels great after a long day to eat and to drink something. Boaz is full and satisfied, and now it's time to go to sleep. Boaz grabs his blanket, and he lies down at the end of the heap of the grain. He falls fast asleep. And here comes Ruth. Slyly walks over, right? Uncovers his feet. Lays down. Can you imagine what is going through Ruth's mind right now? Could you imagine being Ruth? Just for a moment. She just went up there and uncovered the feet, okay? Just the feet, right? Nothing else. Just the feet of Boaz. Can you imagine? I could just imagine her thinking, like, laying there, like, you ever laid there in the night and you're just wide awake and you're just staring at the ceiling and your mind is just racing? I imagine that's what's happening to Ruth. She's thinking, oh my goodness, what have I just done? I just uncovered this man's feet. Now I'm laying here beside him. What am I going to do? He's going to wake up at some point and he's going to say something. Her mind is just racing. She's likely terrified about what is about to happen. And then Boaz is startled. The Hebrew word can also mean shuddered, right? You ever have the blankets fall off of you during the middle of the night and the cool breeze blows over you and you... You ever do that? No. That's essentially what happened to Boaz. His feet was uncovered, the cool breeze blew, and it cooled his feet. And he went, whoo. And he woke up. And as he wakes up, he rolls over and he sees this person laying at the foot of his, you know, the foot of his bed, if you want to say it that way, at the end by his feet. And he says, "Who are you?" Wouldn't we all be saying that? Who are you? Who are you? And Ruth says, I am Ruth, your servant. And here comes the midnight proposal. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer. This was supposed to be step 8. Wait and see what Boaz does. Ruth didn't wait, did she? Ruth spoke. She spoke. And in this statement, spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer. Ruth has now proposed marriage to Boaz. This idea of spreading your wings over is this idea of spreading your protection, spreading your provision, spreading your security over a woman, and that you are going to marry her and provide rest and stability for her. To spread the corner of your robe over a woman is the same as giving an engagement ring to someone. Ruth is demanding an engagement ring from Boaz. That's what's happening. Ruth is asking Boaz to marry her. Ruth is asking Boaz to give her rest. Ruth is asking Boaz to be her redeemer. Now I need to pause here because I realize I haven't really discussed what it means to be a redeemer yet. Many of you likely know what it means to be a redeemer. But in case you don't know what it is, this is what it is. The kinsman redeemer law was its first kind of established in Genesis, and then in Deuteronomy chapter 25, it was actually put into effect, made a law. And the law basically said this: if a brother died, and he had a brother, and this brother was married, but they had no son, then the brother-in-law was to take the widowed wife, perform the duty of a husband until a son is born. Okay? Strange, right? Everybody do this. Yeah, very strange, okay? All right, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in this situation, okay? Not something I want to do, not something I think you want to do. Praise God, we don't have to do this anymore, right? But the purpose of it was that the lineage of the deceased brother would continue to be passed on, that the land of the deceased brother would continue to be his land, his family's land, and the widowed would be protected and cared for it. That was the purpose of it. Now here is something to know. This law only consisted of brothers and nothing more. Is Boaz a brother of Elimelech? Is Boaz a brother of Ruth's husband that passed? No, he's not. Boaz was just a distant relative. So when Ruth asked for Boaz's hand in marriage, she is simply asking Boaz to act in the spirit of the law of the kinsman redeemer. He had no legal obligation to take Ruth. He didn't have to. He could have said no. But what does Boaz do? He secures rest. He secures rest for Ruth and Naomi. As Ruth states her last words in verse 9, the tension is high, right? You ever been in a tense situation before where you're just waiting on someone to respond? You've said something and it might have been hurtful. It might have been good. The tension is high and you're just waiting. Please say something. Could go wrong. It could be great. She just asked her boss to marry her. You understand that? A poor, widowed, foreign, Moabite woman of all people is asking Boaz to marry her. And Boaz responds. He says, may you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. He asks the Lord to bless her. And he says, my daughter. The tension has now what? Loosened. You ever had someone do that to you? You're in a tight spot, you're restless, you don't know what to do, and then maybe your dad or your mom walks over you and says, hey son, hey daughter, it's going to be okay, right? You ever have someone use those words to calm you down? That's what Boaz is doing to Ruth. He didn't curse her. He didn't run her off. He didn't get angry with her. No, he called her his daughter. And then he says, you have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether young or whether poor or rich. Now this word kindness, I discussed last week, and in the Hebrew, the word literally means covenant love, covenant loyalty. And there are two possible people that this covenant love is being expressed toward. It's either Naomi or it's Boaz. For Boaz, this covenant love is the fact that she has chose him over the young men of the fields, or the young, let me say it this way, the young eligible bachelors, whether they were poor or whether they were rich. For Naomi, it's because Ruth chose her. You see that? It's because Ruth chose Naomi over the eligible bachelors in the city. Ruth could have married for love. Ruth could have married for wealth. Ruth could have married for any other reason. But she displayed a second act of covenant love by choosing Naomi. By choosing a likely older kinsman, redeemer in Boaz. One who would not only have to care for Ruth, but also have to care for Naomi, the mother-in-law. Ruth has now twice made a selfless decision by choosing to cling to Naomi and by choosing Boaz, and that she sought after the care and needs of her mother-in-law over her very own selfish desires to marry a young man for love or wealth. And Boaz recognizes this. He recognizes, he picks up on this, and he says, she is a worthy woman. At the end of verse 11. Did you know in the Hebrew Bible, the Bible that Jesus would have read in his time? Okay, so just understand that. The Hebrew Bible was not organized the same way our Bible is organized, okay? The Hebrew Bible was organized a little bit differently. Proverbs 31 is the chapter before the book of Ruth. Proverbs 31 is the book that teaches us what a godly woman looks like, what a worthy woman would look like. The book of Ruth being placed right after the book of Proverbs essentially is to show us what a Proverbs 31 woman looks like. Isn't that interesting? Ruth is a worthy woman. And Boaz says, I see that. You are a worthy woman. And then in verse 11 right here, he goes on and says, and now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask. I will do for you all that you ask. Boaz says, I will redeem you. Boaz is securing rest for Ruth and for Naomi. Boaz is accepting the midnight proposal. You can just picture the glow on Ruth's face. The excitement and the joy that she's having that this man just said, yes, to marrying me. She's slowly realizing that she's going from broken to mended, from empty to filled, from restless to rested. But there's a slight problem. Boaz mentions that there might be another redeemer, right? Closer. But regardless, even if this guy says no, Boaz says, I'm still going to redeem you. I'm still going to give you rest. I'm still going to care for your mother-in-law, Naomi. Boaz instructs Ruth to stay and lie down until morning. And before anyone could recognize her, Ruth awakes. And Boaz says, hey, don't let it be known. Basically, he wanted to protect her. He wanted to protect her reputation. Because during this time, it was common that prostitutes would come to the threshing floor and do all these things in order to participate in promiscuous acts, okay? And so Ruth leaving Boaz is a sign that Boaz did something wrong, and so did Ruth, right? And so Boaz says, hey, let me protect you. Let me care for you. Let me care for your worthiness. Don't let it be known that you're here. Give me your garment. Give me your shawl. I went too far there. Bring that garment you had, that you've been wearing, that you've been sleeping with. I'm going to fill it up like a bag with barley. Take it back home. Now, this was no small amount, okay? 6 measures is what it says here. We really have no idea what a measure is. We don't really know for sure. But the estimation, as this is likely over 50 pounds of barley, if not closer to 100 pounds of barley. Now, I want to ask you ladies something. How easy is that to carry? That's not very easy, is it? Ruth is carrying far more weight than she probably should have been carrying. But there was a purpose for this. He was sending a message to Naomi. For he had told Ruth not to go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law. To see the significance of this, you have to remember chapter 1 when Naomi says to call me Mara. For the Lord has been bitter to me. I went away full, and I've came back what? Empty. And what is Boaz doing? He's sending her food. Boaz is saying, take this back. Naomi sees Ruth stumbling in the door, collapsing with the weight of the barley and scattering all over the floor. That's just what I imagine happening, right? I don't know if that's what happened or not. Don't take me at my word there. But you just picture Ruth having walked all this way, getting there, stumbling in the door, collapsing. Boaz is saying to Naomi, you are no longer empty, but you are full. For Ruth will be redeemed. For I, Boaz, will take care of you. For I, Boaz, will care for you. Church, chapter 3 is much about Boaz as the redeemer of Ruth. But truth be told, this chapter, this book, is much more about the redeeming God working in the shadows through His people, reaching out in covenant love to redeem Naomi and Ruth. They were broken, but now they are mended. They were emptied, but now they are full. They were restless, but now they are restful. Rest has been secured. Church, if you've zoned out of this sermon up to this point, if you've tuned me out of your mind, if you are thinking about other things right now, I want to encourage you to tune back in right now. Because here is the reality. Every single one of us here, we were Naomi, we were Ruth. We were empty. We were broken. We were restless, in need of a Redeemer. Sin had separated us from God, right? God is holy, we are not, and that sin had separated us from us. And the only way we could get back to God was if we are made righteous and holy as He is, and we in our restlessness, we in our emptiness, we in our brokenness are trying to work and work and work and work and work to get back to God. But we can't, can we? We can't do it. We were restless. But God sent His Son, Jesus, to be our Redeemer. I'm reminded of Jesus' word in Matthew chapter 11, verses 27 through 30. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. And He goes on, verse 28. Come to me, all who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Church, without Jesus, we would still be laboring. We would still be heavy laden, doing everything we can to get to heaven, trying to earn it, trying to act righteous enough, trying to be good enough, trying to do enough good deeds, only to find out that there's nothing we can do to give us rest. Church, the redeeming Son of God, Jesus Christ, is the only one who can take us from empty to full. He's the only one who can take us from restless to rested. So when life hits you right square in the mouth, and you are feeling restless and empty due to the loss of a spouse, due to financial struggles and troubles, due to constant health issues, family problems, job struggles, whatever it may be that's causing you to feel restless, look to Jesus for rest. Come to Jesus and He will give you rest. Stop trying to fix it yourself. Stop trying to force a fix. Stop laboring. Stop running like a hamster in a hamster wheel and come to Jesus. Find rest for your souls. He will be the rest that you need. He, Jesus, will take you from empty to full. He will take you from restless to rested. He will be your Redeemer. Church, I told you to write it down earlier. Rest comes from the Redeemer, the Son of God, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Look to Him for rest. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come to You today, Lord, and we're so thankful. As believers, as people that's believed in You, Lord, we're so thankful for the rest that You have given us, Lord. We're so thankful for the rest that we have in Christ, for the redemption that we have in Christ. God, we thank You so much for sending Your Son, Jesus, to be our Redeemer, to give us rest, to take us from empty to full, to satisfy us, Lord. God, I just pray if there's anyone here today that's just running constantly, living in a restless life, Lord, that they will come to You and find rest. God, I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.